All right, this is the Jets Around podcast, and we've been lucky enough to be granted some time with Jets coach Gary Van Egmond. Gary, thank you very much for sitting down with us.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, just a couple of questions, just the one page in a bit, so we'll jump right into it. What do you see as the biggest difference between Gary Van Egmond in 2008 when you moved and Gary Van Egmond now in 2012?
Yeah, look, that's a good question. I had the opportunity of going down to the AAS and having a look at not only a lot of different things as far as football was concerned and working with a head coach in Jan Verslaan, who's, you know, a top European coach, but also to have a look at the what's on offer to enable to help football. So again, we look at our strength and conditioning areas, we look at the sports sciences of it, you look at the physiology of it, you look at biomechanics of it, you look at the nutrition, you look at welfare, you look at the psychology of it, and it was extremely beneficial. And it had from 2008 to 2012, I felt I've evolved a lot more as a football coach. It's probably changed my philosophy to a degree as well, and it's probably given me more information and understanding on certain things of which I agreed with in principle in 2008, but probably couldn't implement as well as what I can now in 2012. And the fact I had a lot more experience in international football, being that it's still young with the, you know, 16s and 17 year olds, but it's still a case that it is international football that you're looking at with all different countries. So that again has helped with my knowledge and the experiences that I've had.
Well, that's pretty much answered both the first two questions. In the media, it was recently commented that you completed your pro licence. Was that an FFA-run course, or did they say actually UEFA?
Yeah, no, what will happen is the FFA are now looking to ensure that the coaching credentials of all coaches, depending on what level they coach at, that they need to attain. And when I first started coaching, when I first came up in probably 2001, I was pretty negative towards it. Again, it was a case that looking at it didn't really feel that I had the respect of the people who were running the course. You know, I've probably done a huge 180 degrees backflip in that, and I'm a big advocate of them because, you know, I've learned a lot in those coaching courses, and not just only from the presenters and the people who are running the course, but also from the other candidates who come in as well. And it's been extremely beneficial, and one in which that if you are an aspiring coach, I really do think that it would be a great experience for you to get there. Although, you know, you're nearly having to mortgage the house to go to them, which I hope they can look to alleviate that cost a little bit. But overall, it's been very worthwhile experiences.
So what further information do you think you gained in the one you just completed? How much do you think what other information will change your coaching philosophy even further?
Yeah, again, it's not so much on the playing side of it. I mean, we play a possession-based game, and if we look at world trends, that seems to be the most positive way of playing and probably the most effective way of playing. There are teams that don't play that way who can have fleeting success, but for sustainability of trying to ensure that you do well over whole of a season, to look to control a game basically by keeping the ball more than the opposition and being able to create goal scoring opportunities with that possession is definitely the way to go. The last week that I went with a pro license, the main thing was the emphasis was not so much on the on the information as far as football is concerned. It was more about managing yourself, managing others, and that was very, very beneficial for me, because that's where I feel my communication and my management are probably areas which I feel I need more work on. And it was really, really, really an eye opener to have a look at the different techniques and the different ways of being able to approach a group, approach an individual, and again for yourself.
Awesome. Okay. There's been a lot of turnover in the playing squad in the off-season so far. A fair bit of experience has been moved on to replace by younger, less experienced but more potential talent. Can you explain the reasoning behind this strategy?
Yeah, look, again, probably in the last 4 to 5 years, I think the biggest difference has been the amount of pressure teams have been putting on the opposition in the opposition's half. And to do that, you need able bodies. You need people who are able to be quite highly mobile, and you need people who, obviously, when we receive that ball, can create opportunities in that front third. There was a lot of good players that we've had, and you know, there's some players that we've let go who are good players, but for the type of game that we want to play, probably just didn't fit our jigsaw puzzle. And that's the issue that we have at the moment, is trying to ensure that we get those types of players in who are going to complement the type of game that we want to play. Mm-hmm. And you know, the other part of that is the amount of money that some of these other players were on. There was significant money, and I would rather spend a lot more of the salary cap and look to get more money spent in that front third area. Mm-hmm. So we can really capitalise on the fact of us being able to play higher up the park and have those players on the ball more, and in turn creating more opportunities.
So looking to spend a little bit more money in the front third, are you looking at targeting name players, or are you looking at trying to find the diamond in the rough like Brisbane and Adelaide?
A little bit more towards that way. Again, it's, you know, we're going to spend more money, but it, again, you know, how long's a piece of string? we want to ensure that we can get the best players in that front third that we most possibly can, as we most possibly can, with the dollars that we've got available. And you know, we've got our marquee players still to come in. We've got the possibility of another player in that front third, which we can pay significant money for. We probably need a little bit more in the left back situation for cover there, and now as a left side stopper. So, you know, those next four players are going to be very, very important and can really turn our squad into what I think will be a very, very competitive squad for this upcoming season.
Cool. How do we identify potential domestic and international talent? Do we have a talent scout or a scouting department, or is that mainly handled by yourself?
Yeah, look, it's handled by a number of us. I mean, myself and Craig Deans ostensibly would be the ones who it comes through. The agents, there's that many agents out there now sending you a heap of players, both overseas and from here. The ones here, obviously, we know very, very well because of our involvement here in the A-League, and you know, we can assess that pretty good. The other part of that being is that the benefit of that is that you know the temperament too, you know the characteristics of that player. So that's also a very important part when putting your squad together, that you know, you don't have a bunch of players here who are very quiet and who are very much just wanting to do what you basically tell them, and there's no conflict. You need conflict. You need people asking questions, and you need to have conflict within the team to a degree. And you also need to have that balance within your squad of the personalities and not just the players.
Cool. We've got a few trialists in our squad at the moment. Can you let us know how they're going, who they are, and whether we look to be possibly picking them up?
Yeah, we've had Lee here. Lee is from South Korea. He played in Indonesia, and he played obviously before that in Korea with Incheon. Looking at him as a possibility as a left fullback. Josh Mitchell's another one who is well known. He's had experience overseas in Romania, and he's been back. He played at Perth Glory, local boy, was raised at Caves Beach. So both of them, and they're both doing quite well. We want to see them in the game, so bearing the weather, hopefully we can have a look at them a little bit more tomorrow, and then we'll make a decision on what we want to do with him.
Awesome. Okay. The strategy with moving out a lot of the experience seemed to be a strategy that Gold Coast used last year, last season, before they went under. What would you say to supporters that are obviously online? Some people are a little bit worried that we might end up going the same way. Moving the experienced players on and replacing them with a lot of youth doesn't always work out, as we saw with Gold Coast. What would you say to reassure the supporters?
If we were to look at a first 11 now, and you looked at You know, you've got Scotty Neville as your right fullback. You've got a toss-up between Birigetti and Kennedy as your keeper. You've got Tiago, you know, possibly, you know, we're obviously looking at another player coming as a left-side stopper. Say it is a Josh Mitchell, he's 28 years of age. You're looking at a left-back coming in, which, again, we're looking at someone with experience there who will have some age. You're looking at, you know, the possibility of Kanarowski and Joe Wheelhouse, Ruben Zadkovic, James Brown, Ryan Griffiths, and Marquis as your nine. I don't see that being such a young team. Mm. You know, I see that a number of these younger ones that we have here are very good for the future, and that's the other part. Like, I want to bring the best young ones here. I don't want to bring the ones who are just in the top 50. You know, and you know, the players like the Connor Chapmans and the Adam Taggarts, for just for example, you know, Adam Taggart's made the Olympic team. You know, it's an under 23 national team, and he's 19 years of age. You know, he's basically been assessed in front of Bernie Abini down in Central Coast. You know, Connor Chapman was identified by the technical panel of FIFA in the under 17 World Cup. One of two players only. The other boy was Dylan Tombides, who was playing overseas. You know, they're in the top, you know, two, three players for their age group in the country. And, you know, it's important to get those ones in and, again, keep on working with them as far as their development is concerned. But we're not shunning experienced players. And, you know, our average age, if we look at that, you know, that average age is going to be around the 24, 25 years of age. I think that's a good age. I mean, Dortmund just won the German championship with the average age of 22. Not everyone can do that, obviously, but you know, the game is becoming a little bit more of a younger man's game.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that you don't want experienced players. You still need to have some experience here. But with the way we want to play and the mobility that we want to create, you are going to need to have legs in there that can achieve what you want as well.
So on a similar sort of vein, how, as a coach, how difficult is it to implement a long-term strategy while trying to balance short-termism expectations, obviously, from the supporter base?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, look, you know, we'll be definitely better from last year to this year, and again from that year to the next year, and it will continue. And the only way that you can do that is to have a base of which you keep. Now, we're probably going to lose some of these younger ones overseas as well. Which is great, but we shouldn't lose them to rival A-League clubs. Mm. And, you know, I feel that we're going to have a very, very strong base of younger ones here coming through, plus the ones of the existing older ones that we have right at this moment, who are major contributors and are also ensuring that the culture of the club is instilled into these younger ones as well. And that is a process, but these young ones are not where they think that they have to, you know, in 2 or 3 years play. They all believe they should play now, and that's a positive as well. They all want to play. So it's about ensuring that we keep these the young ones developing. We keep on the older ones, you know, it's a funny tag, but the older ones instilling the club culture that we're trying to create here. And we just keep on building and keep on working year after year.
What's your expectations personally for this season? Do you have a minimum finish you want to have, or are you more about implementing the style of play and the culture?
Yeah, it's more about that. And look, I don't like to put any pressure on the kids as far as the game is concerned. And when I say kids, that's everyone, because at 47 years of age, everyone's a kid. But you know, it is about us getting better as far as performance is concerned. And if that keeps on working and getting better, then the standard of play is going to keep on rising. So I'd rather go that way than say, well, we're going to finish top five, or we're going to finish top two, or we're going to finish, you know, whatever it might be. For us, it's important that we keep on improving as a group. And that's only going to happen by consistently keeping the group injury-free, by consistently having them understanding and keep on working as far as how we want to keep on playing. Because to control a game is a lot more difficult than to play what I would call reactive football. And controlling a game means that you're playing mostly in the opposition half and you've got the ball, all right? it's a much more difficult game. You can play a game where the team loses a ball, you drop back to halfway, you let the opposition come onto you, and now all of a sudden you get the ball, you look to play forward, you might win the game 1-0. Similar to what we did against Brisbane, up in Brisbane. Okay, we did it out of necessity because we played on the Wednesday night. We had another backup game. We travelled again. We used that tactic for that game, right? But it's short term. Mm. That is short term. The long term is to be able to control that game. The long term is to make sure that you can keep on creating the opportunities in the front third. And that's where these front third players become so important, that if you're going to do that and you don't have people in the front third with a point of difference, well, then you're setting yourself up to be countered. You're setting yourself up to get scored against. And eventually you will get scored against. And that obviously happened at games last year. But we have to be good enough to be able to create those opportunities and turn them into goals from us being able to control the game in the opposition's half. And that is a task in itself.
Awesome. All right. Well, we've just got a couple of questions submitted by some supporters now. Steve136 asks, the club hasn't filled either of our two marquee positions at the moment. What is the status of our marquee, looking for marquee players?
Again, we're looking for the nine as a marquee player. Okay, and it gets back to what I was saying before. We want to ensure that our due diligence is done really well, and not just in regards to the player being whatever the player is going to provide, football-wise, but how he fits in. If you look at our group, we would have a group that is fairly young, but they don't talk that much. Okay, they're quite quiet. There's not real dominant players. Like Casey was a real dominant person, right? And it was good to have someone like that. Like Ruben is good to have in there because of his personality in regards to, you know, he's an influencing person. He's not scared to speak up. There is conflict there. We need a dominant person there as the nine. You know, someone who's going to challenge the group as well, who's going to challenge me, who's going to challenge oppositions. That's the type of person we need. It's not just going to be good enough for him to be a fantastic striker or whatever. We need a personality as well.
Cool, okay. Probably something on a similar sort of vein, PV4 asks a question that a lot of Jets fans ask. What's the situation with Joel Griffiths? Are we targeting him as one of our marquee players? Makes a bit of a comment about Adelaide United fans being able to speak with the club about how they're going getting Marco Flores back. So what's the situation? Is Joel Griffiths a player you're looking at?
Look, I'd love to get Joel Griffiths, but Joel Griffiths is contracted, so it's a little bit more difficult to get someone like him back. I mean, Marco Flores is out of contract, so it would be a little bit easier for him. But you know, Joel's under contract over there. My understanding is he's very happy in China. We speak quite regularly. You know, we could never get anywhere near the type of money that he's earning over in China in comparison to here. It's tax free as well. So you know, and he ticks all the boxes as far as what we're just talking about for a marquee. And again, it would be great, but I just don't see how that's possible at the moment. Now, maybe Drogba and Anelka are going to play up front and Joel gets frozen out. I don't know. You never know what happens in China. It seems to change pretty quickly over there. So, you know, there could be a possibility. But from our point of view at this moment, we haven't had contact from Joel that, you know, he's keen to come back and to play here.
Any chance of Marco Flores?
Well, again, it's a type of player that you're looking for. And you know, again, he's a very good player. But you know, we need to get a real good number nine. That's our most important part. Now, for the midfield, you have the likes of James Brown, you have Ruben, you've got Kander, you've got Job. You've got a number of players who can fit in there. They probably don't have the point of difference of a Marcus Flores, who's obviously been a very, very influential player when he played for Adelaide. But, you know, I see probably a wide player who can really get past people, can create things coming inside the nine. You know, the likes of a James Brown, a Ruben, highly mobile players, both can score goals. You know, Ryan on one side, the other side. You know, there's some real attacking weapons there. And, you know, I'm not too sure if a Marcos Flores would fit into our jigsaw puzzle, if you like.
Okay. Last question comes from the Dunster. Branko Collina received a lot of criticism for scheduling the majority of pre-season games against local opposition. How will this year's pre-season match schedule differ?
Yeah, okay. You always start off against lesser opposition, all right? So the boys are pretty heavy because we've been training quite hard. So you always start off against lesser opposition and you start to build your way into the pre-season. We've probably got about 14 to 15 games already targeted for this upcoming pre-season. Five are already with A-League clubs that we've already locked in towards the back end of the season, back end of the pre-season, where it becomes more vital to ensure that we have that competition. So we are ready to hit the ground running when the competition starts. So we've booked games already with Sydney. We've booked a game with West Sydney. We've booked a game with Wellington. We've booked a game with Brisbane. So those games will come into the back end of the pre-season. You know, we've booked games against New South Wales Premier League clubs. We've booked games against the Northern New South Wales select team. We've booked a game against the Canberra select team. We've booked games because I think it's important for us to play some of the local teams here as well, for the local teams as well, to play us early on. So the early games are going to be obviously against the local teams, and we'll still keep training hard, and then eventually we get into a case where we're looking to play the harder A-League teams, and I would imagine we'll have five games against A-League opposition, plus we're still looking at an overseas trip which would have overseas competition as well. So by the time we're ready to play, we're ready to play against that type of competition.
Go Renegade One, thank you very much.
Thank you guys.